good to be in the house of the Lord today. Hallelujah. If you're not sensing the presence of the Lord, check if you're breathing. Yes. As long as you're breathing, you should be sensing His presence today in this place and online. And then if you're still not, then you're dead spiritually. And we need to address it speedily. Glory to God. Where are we going to go from here? I have been wrestling with this word all week. Prepared something, set it aside, looked at it again, set it aside, and the Lord kept bringing me back to one place. And usually Saturdays at some point, Pastor Donnie texts and says, "Hey, what's your sermon title?" When we were sitting yesterday in a Hiapau, he texted and said, "What's your sermon title?" I don't know. I just wasn't certain. And I'm not one to, I will use the term recycle, but I often don't come back around with something that I've spoken before in one particular place. But I have kept coming back to this, and even during worship today, I keep coming back into Revelation chapter 12. And I have not been able to get away from it. And so I was going to preach to you a message before I started being brought back to this one, that it will all come out in the fire. But I keep going back to Revelation 12. And so knowing that I was sort of keep getting drawn back to that, I finally told Pastor Donnie, just send out an email. You have something to say. And I don't know. We'll see. This is where we're going to begin. Maybe we won't finish there, but I'm going to start here anyway. And I believe that, according to, well, I keep good records, but according to, I preached out of this chapter in 2015. I write in my Bibles. Cynthia knows about all my sermon notes because she's been reorganizing them for me. And almost 25 years of sermons, I got lots of them. And so I first preached out of this to this congregation when we were a different location in 2015. And almost now more than ever, I believe that it rings true. In a time when the church has an opinion about so many other things than really what we should be. We need to be aware that we have something to say and what it is that we're saying. The Bible says that there is life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what is it that you are speaking? And the church needs to be speaking life. We need to be speaking two things. But I want you, if you will, to get your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 we're going to look at. I can't shake it. We're going to go here. Revelation chapter 12. Let's begin in verse 7. Look what it says. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Watch that. And Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. If you like to write or underline in your Bible, this is a good verse right here to begin. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, say now,
now,
is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Woo. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You can stop right there. We're going to focus right here in verse 10. Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Now. You just got to pay attention to sometimes the smallest of words in Scripture, because it didn't say yesterday, it didn't say tomorrow, it didn't say a month from now, come on somebody, it didn't say next week, it didn't say when you get everything else in order, it didn't say when you jump rope for 40 minutes and then jump through the next three hoops that he's going to lay out before you, but he said now is come. Now is come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. Now. How many of you know we need to see that in this hour, in this time? We need to see this in this very place of worship. We need to see salvation. We need to see strength in your lives. We need to see the kingdom of God at work and the power of Christ revealed. Glory to God. That'll preach. I can keep you all awake long enough, and you can hear this with an ear. Father, give us an ear to hear right now in the name of Jesus. Father, that this word would not fall on deaf ears, but that, Father, you would wake us up. Lord, remove every hindrance and roadblock that the enemy would try to use today to keep us from receiving this word that is deep, the depths of it. God, for those that will receive it for the very first time, God, I pray that you would absolutely destroy, as your word declares, that your anointing destroys every yoke. God, destroy every weapon strangulating and suffocating and trying to completely, God, cause there to be almost ineffectiveness of what you're doing in their life. But God, I thank you that we have an ear to hear. Open our ears and our eyes to see, God, today what your word is going to speak to our hearts. And we give you praise and glory for it right now. Jesus Christ, amen. This word now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. I like to preach a lot and often on the kingdom. We're probably going to do some kingdom teaching here very soon about the kingdom of God and who we are in the kingdom. And then it says, and the power of Christ. I want you to notice four things about that right here as we begin, and we're going to go through this word today. But there's four things. Notice that scripture and what it says. That four things in this text came as a result of something else. Four things. Oh, glory. I want you to pay attention. What was it? Or what is it that caused the salvation, strength, the kingdom of God, and the power of Christ to come? What was it that brought about these four things? It's interesting, as you read, it says, now is the come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. In other words, if you will cast down the accuser of the brethren in your life, the devil, the enemy, if you'll stop giving him voice in your head and voice in your life, the Bible is saying right here that salvation, strength, the kingdom of God, and the power of Christ will come to your life. Think about that. You're going to get all of those things in your life if you'll just shut the voice of the enemy up.
And we can't at all, don't try to pretend that we don't get weary, that we don't get weak. On Wednesday night during our leadership development, I was talking a little bit about that very thing. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy uses against you and I in life is to become weary. And what that means is to lose your sense of pleasure. When you no longer enjoy the things you used to do and the things you used to enjoy, he tries to wear you down. Just like a nagging two-year-old at the checkout counter at a grocery store. But please, please, Daddy, please, please buy it for me, please. And you say, no, 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 no. And finally, after a while, a lot of us will just give in. The enemy will often do that with you and I. He will nag and continue to mess with us and continue to bother us and to speak into our life until eventually we just give in or we give up. Amen? But the Bible says that you and I, that we receive these four things. I'm going to say it again because I want to get it in your spirit. That you and I receive salvation. Now, I got to teach you for a moment, because if you haven't been under our teaching here very long, then you know that I'm not just talking about a one-way ticket to heaven. Real salvation, the Bible helps us understand, is not just about getting to heaven, but it is salvation, it is healing, it is deliverance, amen? It is all of those things. It means that you are no longer who you used to be, that he is totally rescuing you from who you used to be, amen? Now, sometimes you might look like that old man or woman, but it's salvation. Deliverance comes. When you and I receive Jesus Christ, he is delivering you from all the things that entrap you and ensnare you. He is setting you free. Amen? So it's more than just getting to heaven, all right? So it's salvation. Amen? It's him reaching beyond you and getting the people that you love and getting them saved. Come on, somebody. It means God's going to get your child, your grandchildren, your sisters, your mothers, your brothers, because he's going to use you. But this message is important on how that's going to happen. It says first that you have to cast down and reject the accuser of the brother. And in other words, don't give place to the devil. We see that other places in Scripture. Don't give the enemy an opportunity, right, to even speak into your life. That's why sometimes you just got to say, when someone says the wrong thing to you, you can't look at them and call them a devil, but because they might slap you, but you can turn around as I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you hear things on the news that you know is contrary to the word of God, and anyone who hath an ear to hear knows that sometimes we'll hear things through our local and national news, and we just got to speak over that thing and say, for the devil is a liar. Amen. And call those things that are not as though they were. Amen. You and I need to stop speaking, and churches have to stop speaking about how divided we are as a nation. No, I declare and I decree that we're a united nation under God, indivisible. Come on. That we're going to be a people of God that love God, follow God, chase after God. Amen. And how's that going to happen? If we will shut up the voice of the enemy, stop allowing the devils on TV to tell us what our nation is and what our nation will become when God has appointed you and I, amen, to have dominion in the earth. That's what the Bible declares, that you and I are here to have dominion. So don't matter what the pundits say. Doesn't matter what any other evening news pundit person says. You and I need to speak over this nation and speak over our families and over our churches what thus says the Lord. Amen. What he is speaking to you and I now in the name of Jesus. I'm preaching better than you're reacting today. That's for sure. You got to cast down the voice of the accuser in your life. Every lie, every doctor's report that doesn't line up with the word of God. I'm not telling you to deny facts. I'm just telling you that faith will change the facts. That's what I'm telling you. You can say, well, doctor, I appreciate all your hard work and all your years of school, but the devil is a liar. Amen. You can say, well, PNC, I thank you for giving me my balance, but the devil is a liar. I say that every day. Every day. I got to speak life to my checkbook, y'all. Come on. You got to just stand back and speak life, because the devil is a liar. I don't base my value and my success based on what my checkbook says. My God, I would have given up a long time ago, moved into public housing and given up and said, that's it. Because the devil is a liar. I believe and stand on what the word of God says and decrees and declares over my life. You and I've got to do that. You've got to reject what the accuser of the brethren is saying. Why is the Bible using that term here? The enemy is termed the accuser of the brethren here because he comes to accuse you, to make you guilty. Yeah. to accuse you to be everything contrary to what God says. He wants you to feel less than. He wants you to feel like you're unworthy to receive. He wants you to believe that that healing isn't for you. He wants you to give in and receive that cancer diagnosis. He wants you to believe that diabetes is going to kill you. He wants you to, and I, to believe that we are the poorest that we've ever been. Are you hearing me? The accuser of the brethren, he comes to accuse you of everything that is contrary to what God has spoken of your life. And if you would just settle it in your heart that I am none of those things. Even the people sometimes close to us and our families, you know, our families remind us of who we used to be. Come on. Our parents, they may mean well, but they'll say things like, well, you know, I was just concerned. You got home a little late, and I was worried you were up to no good. That's when you say, shut up, you accuser of the brethren. I am not who I used to be. Come on, somebody. You might not be able to say that to your parent, but you at least need to say it to the devil. Say, shut up in the name of Jesus. I am not who I used to be, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to silence that voice in my life so I can receive, what did the Bible say? Salvation. Strength. My God, we need some strength to move on, to keep pushing forward. I'm going to receive the kingdom of our God, meaning I am going to know and understand what it is to live in his kingdom, meaning you need to understand, glory to God, what it is to live and be a part of the kingdom of God, which makes you an inheritor. Oh my, that's why he says you're a joint heir. That means that everything that God possesses and owns and declares his is yours. I mean, you looking for a job, step into your inheritance. Say, God, I just thank you that the job you have for me is coming my way because I'm an inheritor of you. I'm a joint heir with you. And so whatever is yours is mine. And so, God, I just bless you and I thank you. I'm going to walk into this employment that's going to pay me double, triple what I should even get paid. God, because I'm an inheritor of your kingdom. That's not crazy. That's just getting what the Bible says you can get. I blow everybody's mind when I tell them how I got the car that I've got. So then Lois and them joking said, well, you got to go with me when I buy a car because they're going to pay me. When I walk on that lot, they're going to pay me. It might only be a Ford Fusion to some of you all, but it's like a Cadillac to me. So you can make fun of it all you want, but I pay less than you did. Why? Because I declare and I decree the word of God over my life before I ever get there. So they gave me out of my old car that needed some help and needed some work and wasn't worth what they gave me. They gave me $12,500 for a car that only booked for seven. That was only the beginning. And then we get in there, and then they ended up giving me another $5,500 off of the price of the car. I ended up getting free oil changes for life, free inspections for life, WeatherTech mats, and all kinds of other things that I get them to throw in. Why? Because I go in knowing that I'm an inheritor of the kingdom of God, and what he has already laid up for me is mine. And so they're going to pay me. I'm not going to pay a dime more than what I need to because I said, God, the money I get is yours. And God, I know you don't want to waste your money on this car. So, Lord, I'm thanking you in advance that they're going to bless me. And in such a manner that I don't have to waste the money that you're going to give me on a car that I can't afford. Are you following what I'm saying? Because I'm an inheritor. Y'all need the vehicle. Yours is about to fall apart. Just start understanding you are an inheritor of the kingdom of God. What he has laid up, it's yours. And then just watch God start opening the doors. If you'll start walking in that kind of faith, I'm telling you, you'll start walking into opportunities that will blow your mind. You'll see the blessings of God. You'll see the favor of God on your life. Hallelujah. In all kinds of ways. In many ways. Praise God. I got to get going or we're never going to get through it. You're all going to be late for the Steeler game. And then you'll be mad at me. But you'll have to get over it because in order to get into heaven, the Bible says you have to love me. Y'all ain't going to miss much. Y'all not going to miss much anyway. This is better than the Steeler Bronco game anyway. Come on. Because this is life. We're speaking life. Cast down the accuser. Now watch this. Verse 11 we got to look to now. Same chapter, Revelation chapter 12. See if you've clicked your phone off or closed your Bible, you're going to miss it. Hallelujah. So we know what we got to do to get salvation, strength, the kingdom of God, and the power of Christ in our life. Now watch this. Verse 11. And they... What they do? Uh-huh. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And they overcame him, who? The accuser of the brethren, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Two very important things we're going to focus on. Two very important things. Now, before I can get into that, I want to remind you of two things. I'm reading this portion of Scripture to, one, let you know that there was a war going on in the heavens. And there are two rules that we need to learn right here from this text that are very important. Two rules from the text that we're reading that you need to learn and remember. Number one, there is only one God and you're not Him. Ah, there's only one God and you're not Him. Just do me a favor and look at your neighbor or shout out to the person in front of you or behind you and say that. Say, there's only one God and you're not Him. Uh-huh. See, sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that we are not He who is in charge. Yes. It'll remind us to stop manipulating circumstances or trying to manipulate God in our prayers, because I know none of y'all ever do that. My Lord, when I hear preachers try to do that stuff, Lord, if you'll do this, just be quiet. You don't even know the Word of God enough to be doing something like that. There's only one God, and you aren't Him. Number two, there's only one heaven, and this isn't it. Stop believing that this is as good as it gets. I mean, Lord, we cannot believe that this is the best that it gets, that God has prepared a place for you and I in heaven, and this isn't it. All right, so I wanted to lay those out for you so we can get through this word and get into the depths and preach some victory to you today and give you hope and strength before you leave this place today. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that there was a war in heaven and that the devil and his angels were cast out. In other words, they're not there anymore. That's why they're in hell. They were cast out of the heavens. Amen. The devil and his angels were cast out. Now, if we focus, I want to focus just for a moment on verse 11. And it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, I'm a word study person. So the word overcame in the original is nikeo, which means simply to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, or to get the victory. Uh-huh. In other words, I'm speaking over you today that there's some areas where God wants you to overcome. There's some areas that God wants the church, God wants you and I, in our lives and our families and our communities and our city and our nation. This is why the church needs to arise. We were singing earlier, there's an army rising up. If the church would take its rightful place, the word of the Lord is saying to you and I that we will overcome. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. To overcome means that we're to subdue. You know, everything that's trying to rear against you and I, God is saying He wants you and I to subdue. Bring it into order, bring it under control. To conquer it, to prevail against it, to get the victory. My God, instead of everything else getting the victory over you, you're going to get the victory. My dad used to say, either you get the bear or the bear gets you. However you want to look at it, this is what God wants for the people of God. I'm not going to be down and depressed and weary and downtrodden and sulking in this moment that when God says so much through His word about you and I, He wants us to overcome. All of us in this place should want some of that in our life. To overcome, to have victory, to prevail, to conquer. I don't care what it is you're struggling with right now, God is already on your side. You are not in this thing by yourself. He wants you to conquer and prevail over it, against it, in the name of Jesus. Now, help me, Lord. The blood of Jesus is important. It says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb
Jesus,
and the word of their testimony. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that part right now, not because the blood is important. Oh, it is very important. We all should still be stirred and excited when we hear a song or some preaching on the blood of Jesus. Amen. When we hear the old hymn, "The blood will never lose its power," it should get you and I stirred and excited, because it is only because of the shedding blood of Jesus Christ that you and I can even find salvation, that we can be saved, that we can be healed, that we can be delivered. Are you hearing me? And so it is because of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ that we're able to receive all of those things. So it's important. Amen. It should stir us and it should get us excited. The blood of Jesus should really get us to shouting and understanding. It was because of his sacrifice that we didn't have to give one, hallelujah, on our own. And so there's a lot of songs that are preached about and sang about the blood of Jesus. But the second part of this text, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, we don't hear much about. In fact, testimony time a lot of times annoys me, because we end up turning testimony time into everything than what it's supposed to be. People have their own agendas in some churches. Sit down. I had a pastor friend tell me he had this happen in his church last week. And I was, "Oh, brother, better you than me." He had a lady who's relatively new who got up during testimony time and used it as the time to bash her in-laws, whom were known in that church. And she did it once. And he said, "I think it's time you sit down." And she ended up going back to her seat then and standing up and doing it all over again after he'd already told her. He said, "If you don't hush your lips right now," he said, "we're going to ask you out of here," you know, and he used scripture and blah, blah, blah. But she used it as an opportunity to deal her own agenda. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Testimony isn't about you and your problem. Testimony is for you to testify about the goodness and the greatness of our God and coming in agreement with his word about what he's about to do. Because the Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, God is saying to you and I in that text that you have something to say. See, in other words, when we get to a point in church and or whatever, or there's a moment that we all should have something to say. I don't care if you go to lunch today at Peachins or at Olive Garden or wherever you may go to eat, that you should have something to say as a testimony of who God is and what he is doing in your life or around you or whatever's going on near you. That each one of us, you have something to say. Hallelujah. That we should have the ability to open up our mouth. Amen. To understand that part of us getting the victory is first opening our mouth. The Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, because of what they testified about. Now, what does it mean to testify? Watch this. It's just not about you and I standing up in the presence of Almighty God or in church or just only in church. It's about you to testify or to testimony, as it says in the word of God. It means one who testifies. Watch this. As before a judge. In other words, to present the evidence as if you were in the court of law. Now, I know none of you all goody two-shoes have ever been to court, but I have. And when you go to, I haven't always been to court because of my stuff. I've been to court to help people, you know, character witnesses and such, and to pay child support and all that stuff, you know. And when I adopted my daughter, I had to go to court and stand before the judge. And so there's a lot of reasons. So get your minds out of the gutter, y'all. And so the fact of the matter is when you go to court for any reason, whether you're a character witness as I've done or for whatever, you got to provide some evidence. How many know some of us in this room have gotten away with things because there was no evidence? Or better put, no one would rat you out. Amen. Nobody else has friends like I have. Amen. There are some people, how many of you know that when you run into people that you went to school with, they know what you did and when you did it. Mm-hmm. And that's why they like lean in and be like, "I can't even believe you turned out the way that you did." But when it came down to it and you were all sitting in the principal's office, or you all got called to the office, or when your parents were reading you the act or whatever, I mean, you all held to your stories. Everybody had the same story. you know, with very few variations, right? And the reason that some of us got away with some of the things that we got away with, my brother, is because nobody ratted you out. Nobody testified against you. Uh-huh. I've come to learn that often church people will testify against other church people to save themselves. When I got to address something, I'll call somebody in the office and they'll be like, oh, no, you need to talk to Sister Lois. Because I seen her. I mean, we're quick. We don't much hold those bonds of confidence and, you know, those things in the house of God. You understanding what I'm saying? We will absolutely testify against a brother or sister in the Lord if it means setting me free. It got quiet all of a sudden, but we will. You forget, I deal with y'all. I know. Bless the Lord. But when it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, notice to testify, it means as if before a judge. It's letting you and I understand that when you and I get into the house of God, or even in our, because I believe part of our praise and worship is testifying. And so it means that we need to take it serious and realize that I'm offering up some evidence to God while he needs to come through for me. On all of his promises are yes and amen, that I'm going to sing that you are worthy of it all. I'm going to sing that you break every chain. I'm going to sing that there's power in the name of Jesus, because God, I want you to know that I'm a praiser. I'm a worshiper. I want you to know that I believe in your word. And so I'm going to offer up some evidence to the judge to release a sentence over my life that is contrary to what I see manifesting, if you're following me. So I'm going to let you know, God, that I believe in you and I trust in you, and I'm asking you to release your word over my life so that I can live my life as a true inheritor of the kingdom of God. And so it means that when we come into the house of God, and or when we're going to do anything for that manner in the name of Almighty God, we've got to be able to testify or offer up evidence so that he can rule on our behalf. Are you following me? Glory to God. The reason sometimes people will go to court and we'll see big legal battles taking place in the news, and then we find out the person that we believe is guilty gets away with it because no one will speak out. Well, we've seen it over and over again. People who have committed crimes and should have gone to jail got away with it because nobody would speak out about what they saw, about what they heard, about any of those things, about prior offenses, all of those things. See, we've got to remember that in our mouth lies the power of life and death. And we've got to be able to testify that God is going to see us through this, and that God isn't, and that God is going to bring us out. We got to remember that we have a just God and that we have a God that is on our side. Amen. Even Abraham said, surely the judge of all the earth will do right. We got to remember who it is that we serve, who it is that we're worshiping, who it is we're here for. There's all kinds of examples throughout the Word of God, or times when men of God had to offer up some evidence. Glory to God. The Bible says that that the devil stood before the presence of God and that he railed on Job. And he offered up evidence. But when things were getting tough and things started really getting intense, Job spoke up finally, and Job said, I'm not going to let this pass with this opportunity pass without me giving a testimony. And so the story goes, as God allowed the enemy to come to Job. But remember, the word of the Lord said, I'll let you get to him, but you cannot cross the hedge. I'm putting a hedge around him, right? So I'm going to let you gain access, but you won't be able to go as far as you might think that you're going to go. And finally, there gets to a point where Job speaks up after losing so much, after the enemy wreaking havoc in his life. And Job says, I'm going to speak up and I'm going to offer some evidence. Amen. And the Bible said, does it not, that Job shaved his head and that Job fell to the ground. And Job said, naked I came into the world and naked I will depart. Job said, Lord, you give and Lord, you take away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Job said, hey, I know what it is to be attacked by the enemy, but he said, I also know how good my God is. He said, God, if this is how it's going to end, blessed be the name of the Lord, but I'm going to acknowledge you in the good and the bad and the ugly. See, what it is God wants to rule in our lives, but we have to be able to offer up some evidence. We have to be able to testify of the goodness of God. Because no matter what's going on in our life, I don't care if there's diseases raging in our body. I don't care if the bank is ready to take a car or a house. I don't care what situation you or I are up against. We need to have the ability to stand up and testify that we have a God that will bring you out. We have a God that will show up. Amen. Always on time. Always on time. He's never late, but he's always on time. Amen. Because we need to keep in mind that it's as if you and I are in a courtroom. This morning, just imagine it, that this would be a courtroom for the kingdom of God. And you and I have got to be able to offer up some evidence so that our mighty God can rule on our behalf. I mentioned earlier in the middle of worship, as we were winding down, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember? I'm sure you know the story. In Daniel chapter 3, and the Bible says that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we know they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Yeah, y'all remember? Yeah. All right. And finally, it got to the point that the Bible says that in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and they said to the king that threw them in, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. See, they had a death sentence placed on their life. But the Bible says that they lived beyond the fiery furnace because they gave a testimony. Because they offered up some evidence. Are you hearing me? In other words, you and I have the ability to live beyond all the fiery furnaces of this life. It doesn't matter what it is that you're going through right now. It doesn't matter what hell that you and I are facing. It doesn't matter what our nation looks like right now. It doesn't matter what our community looks like right now. Come on. It doesn't matter what it looks like in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what it looks like in your bank statement. It doesn't matter what the doctor's report looks like. The Bible declared in Daniel chapter 3 that these three men said to the king, we're not sure. We're going to be careful to answer you in this matter. Amen. But they remembered, and we, as we know, the Bible says in Hebrews that now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence, we've been talking about evidence, of things not seen. Amen. See, you and I don't just need faith, we need the evidence. The evidence. I believe this, if you and I get the evidence, faith will come to you. See, oftentimes the evidence that you and I need to offer isn't evidence about who you are, but it's evidence that you believe in who God is. And when you can deliver that kind of evidence and say, God, I am broke, busted, and disgusted, but God, I'm grateful and I'm thankful that you're not. God, I'm grateful and thankful that your word declares that you own a cattle on a thousand hills. God, I'm thankful that you go before me. God, I'm thankful that your word says that you're my provider. So God, I'm not going to be grow weary in well-doing because of what my checkbook says, because God, I know that your word declares that you are my provider. You're my Alpha. You're my Omega. You're my beginning and my end. And you, Lord, I will trust you. As your word says in Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'll lean not on my own understanding. And God, in all of my ways, when I'm broke, when I'm busted in and I'm disgusted, God, I will acknowledge you. And God, I'm trusting that you will direct my path. So God, I'll give you glory. God, I'll bless you. And Lord, even as Job said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You're offering up evidence of who he is, that of who you believe that he is, that he will come through for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Preacher's preaching today. I'm going to give it to you today. Whether you shout or not, I don't care. Glory to God. Daniel chapter 3, look what he says in verse 17. You can jot it down, look at it later if you want. Hallelujah. They're in the furnace, and they say in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. Don't you like that? That even in the midst of all of hell and all the pressures of the life, they just declared and they decree. That's why the Bible says decree a thing and it will be established. In other words, it will come to pass. You and I cannot be silent in what's going on in our life. You cannot only listen to the voice of the enemy and naysayers and Nebby Nancy's and all the depressed Debbie's and all of those things in your life. Get that stuff. The devil is using them as a means to get into your life. Amen. You just need to dust your feet off. Get away from them. Stop having coffee with them. Glory to God. And separate yourself. So that you're someone that you can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, Lord, I know it looks like not like much, and God, I don't have much left, but God, I'm trusting in who you are, that you will deliver me up out of this, just like you did these three Hebrew boys. You're going to get me up out of this hot mess. God, I may have created it. God, I may have made the decisions that got me into it, but God, I know that, Lord, if you can part a sea, to save your people, that God, that you will do whatever it is you need to do to deliver me up out of this now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David and Goliath. You know that story. I'm going to offer you up some evidence. I ain't going to give you a word and not give you proof. Some preachers do that. Story of David and Goliath. David started offering evidence the first day that he got there to face this uncircumcised Philistine. The Bible said that God watched Saul and all the other men say, look at this man, this champion, this giant. Everybody was looking at the giant and saying, look at how big he is. What's this puny little twerpy kid think he's going to do? There's something about the story that most preachers would miss about it, is that David never referred to Goliath in any of the same terms that Saul and all the other people did. He never referred to him in the terms of this great, mighty warrior, this champion, this giant. No, he simply referred to him as the uncircumcised Philistine. Woo! Because David knew who God was. He knew that the God that was in him was bigger than the enemy that faced him. Some of you need to remember that the God that is within you is bigger than any devil you will ever face. The God that is in you is bigger than cancer. The God that is in you is bigger, my God, than your checkbook. The God that is in you is bigger than all the people that will ever rise against you. The God that is in you is bigger than all the enemies that encamp about you. The God that is in you is bigger than addiction. My God, the God that is in you is bigger than all of these things that press in against us to try to steal our joy, to try to take our life. The God that is in you is bigger than depression. It's bigger than suicide. And David knew it. And see, he'd spent a lot of time worshiping God. So he didn't go to face this uncircumcised Philistine his own strength. The king told David and all the other men, and gave a really long list of why David could never defeat that Goliath, that great giant. And then David said, just you wait a minute. I haven't given a testimony yet. I haven't testified. The Bible says that David said, I have slew the lion and the bear when they came out against me. And I didn't run, but I attacked them and I killed the bear and I killed the lion. And the Bible says, I'm summarizing for you, and the Bible says that Goliath, or the Bible says that God ruled that day. and that Goliath was killed that very day. See, what's important is David didn't talk trash when he was facing the enemy. He didn't stand back and just poke fun and talk trash, none of those things. The Bible is clear that David kept his testimony. He kept his testimony because David knew that God and God alone was the judge. And so what David's testimony was, as David said, and the Bible says that David said right there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he said, "You come to me. You come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." He's offering up a testimony that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's offering up a testimony that 1,000 can fall on one side and 1,000 at the other, but this thing won't come near me. You can come to me with your weapon, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, because the God in me is bigger than every devil against me. Hallelujah. He's offering up the evidence. Praise God. Can I give you one more example? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 is actually one of my favorite chapters to preach. It was one of the first messages I ever preached. About Paul and Silas. And I won't read it. We were going to read it, but I want you to at least jot it down and look at it, because I'm running short on time. Acts chapter 16. The Bible says that they were imprisoned. But verse 25 of Acts 16 says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." At about midnight. Midnight, you know, the middle of the night. You and I can't sleep and our mind is racing 1,000 places. Just know that the secret is to sing songs and hymns of praise. Because something will happen. Now, there's something here I want to point out that I have to give you. I got to give it to you quick, but there's depth to it. Because I'm going to prove to you how awesome God's word is. The Bible says about midnight they were singing songs and hymns of praise. The Bible says sings praises. Sing praises comes from the word hymneo, which means a hymn to sing. To celebrate God in song. Now you might be wondering why that's important, but I'm going to show you. It comes from the same word that means a song in tithe to God. I was going to share with you maybe some stuff about that right there, but I'm going to skip it. I want to stay focused in this vein of praise and offering up evidence. The Bible says Paul and Silas sang hymns and songs of praise, or hymneo, to sing praises. What is that? It's the singing of paschal hymns. And why is that important? Well, it's important because the Jews call it the great Hallel. And it's in Scripture. And I'm going to show you right in the Word of God what they sang. And how as they sang, the very words they sang is what happened in Acts chapter 16. That when they sang about how God breaks free, us free from bonds, their chains were broken. And when they sing about because of the might and the awesomeness of God that the earth trembles, there was an earthquake. I'm going to show you here in a moment where when they sang about salvation that the jailer got saved. And then the jailer went home and his family gets saved. Or start to hear what I'm telling you, that the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that we receive strength and salvation and the kingdom of God. See, there's a point always in my madness. Sometimes it takes me a while, but I'll get there. This is good. Watch this. Watch this. Hymnio, the songs of praise, paschal hymns. The Bible says that the 150th psalm in your Bible is the Jewish hymnal. All right. Just because of time, the Bible says, more specifically, what I'm going to refer to today is Psalms chapters 113 through 118. And maybe a smidge of 136 is what you would consider. And the Bible says, after they sang, suddenly, verse 26. After they sang, notice what I said. After they sang. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosed. Watch what I said. After they sang, suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. This is what Acts 16 says. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were loosed. Glory to God. Now, if you look in Psalms chapters 113, 114, oh, Lord, I want to take your time and go there and show you, but I can't. It literally is this great halal, and the very wording of it all, as it talks about the greatness and the goodness of God and how awesome He is, and then it begins, you're strong to break my bonds, and you're strong, and God, your might is it brings the trembling of the earth, and on and on and on. And so as they sang it, these very things begin to happen. It's what broke them out of prison. So chronologically, as they sang through these chapters in the book of Psalms, these things begin to happen. The Bible says that the earth trembled. And suddenly there was a great earthquake in verse 26 of Acts chapter 16. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. Why? Because they were singing about the trembling of the earth, which is a great earthquake. Are you hearing me? In other words, they borrowed a testimony. See, sometimes you and I have a difficult time trying to testify and find the words. I know when you're really going through it, it's difficult to be able to testify and find out and find the words in you to say how awesome and how good God is when you're laying sick and in pain and distraught and dying from something or broke, busted, and disgusted. But see what they were doing. The Bible says that they had been beaten, bloodied, battered, and bruised, put into prison. Shackled up, hands and feet, right? Laying in a prison beyond what you could ever imagine. And yet they didn't have it within their own ability to praise God. So they borrowed somebody else's words. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes you and I need to borrow someone else's testimony. Sometimes you and I need to reach into the Word of God and say, God, I can't muster up the words on my own. God, I'm too weary. My mind can't even wrap my head around what's going on in my life. And God, I'm not even thinking clearly. So God, I'm just going to read to you how good that you are. So I'll go into the book of Psalms and I'm going to read these words that I know got you to move once in life and other times in life. So I'm going to read them to you again. And the Bible says as they begin to sing, after they sang that there was suddenly a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake that began to shake the very foundations of that prison. And then in Psalm chapter 116, they begin to sing about their bonds being loosed in Psalms 116, verse 15. And the Bible says that as they sang that God is a God that looses the bonds, that God loosed the bonds, and that is the same God that will loose things that are binding up you and I, glory to God. That's who he is. And then it moves on. And Acts chapter 16, verse 27 through the remainder of that chapter, he focuses on the jailer. And I love it right there. Because the Bible says, and the keeper of that prison was awakened out of his sleep by their praises. The very man that locked him up and put him in jail was awoken out of his sleep. Glory to God. In verse 30, the jailer says, he came over to Paul and Silas and says, what must I do to be saved? After witnessing an earthquake and bonds being broken without anybody else's help, he recognized the might and the greatness of a God, and he comes to them and says, what must I do to be saved? And they said in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that thou shalt be saved in thy house. Look at that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when it was day, the magistrates sent to the serjeant, saying, let those men go. Salvation. Even in those very books of chapters and Psalms, they sang about salvation. They sang about bonds being loosed. They sang about the earth trembling and all of the things that they sang about, all the things that they offered up evidence about, all the things that they testified about. Are you hearing me? It's what happened in their life. It's what brought about and enabled God to rule on their behalf and say, yeah, I'm going to get you out of where I know you don't belong. That's what began to happen. Conviction came. They sang about conviction in Psalms 118. Conviction came on the jailer and said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? There are other examples where these very Paschal hymns are sang and God moved on behalf. Other examples, I can't even begin to get into them, but there are other examples. That's how awesome your Bible is. How awesome it is. There is earth-shattering things that are happening in the Word of God that can help you and break you out and break you through. Even at the very crucifixion, resurrection of Jesus, there was an earthquake. Bonds were being broken and loosed. And there was salvation. Except salvation didn't come until Acts chapter 2. The Bible says when they were all in one place, in one accord. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Filled the whole house. Tongues sat up on each of them as flames of fire, and they began to speak in other tongues. It was because of that moment right there that salvation came, and the Bible says that the church grew by thousands that day. Because somebody had something to say. That's why. Because they had something to say in the upper room. Because they offered up some evidence in one mind and one accord in unity and praised and worshiped God for who he is and all that he is. And said, God, we know that you will do what you said that you would do. Glory to God. See, I believe that what God's desire for you and I, I'm going to end right here, is that we would no longer be an ordinary church. That we would no longer be an ordinary church, but that we would be transformed in the court of the Lord. Right? That he could record this being a day where you and I would offer up some evidence to him so that he can rule on our behalf and in favor of you and I, saying, hey, I know what you've been going through, but I'm going to release the word of the Lord over you. Are you hearing me today? So if you would you stand to your feet? I know we're having some issues up in the with the sound and whatnot, but we're going to close this way anyway, with or without music, because I really believe real praise, you don't need any of that stuff anyway. Real worship, you don't need any of those things. But I want you and I to take a moment today as we prepare to close. We're going to offer up some evidence so that God can rule in favor of us today in this place. So that he can rule on our behalf today in this place. And he can say, "I, you showed me the evidence. You gave me the evidence of what is to come, what of who I am, and that he can rule on our behalf, just like he did with Paul and Silas, that we can have the ability to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so that as we leave this place, we can testify of the goodness of our God, that we can tell God how awesome he is, how good that he is, how marvelous he is, and what his word says about our problem. And so today, I want you and I to pray together. I want us to pray even out loud, that if you can, that we can offer up some evidence to God, offer up evidence to him to say how awesome he is, how good that he is, how great that he is. Amen. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. Today in this place, glory to God. Father, we bless you. Lord, we glorify you. God, we extol you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, we look to you in this moment. Lord, we do. God, we just bless you and we thank you. Lord, we honor you. God, I'm asking the Lord even now that you would receive the prayers and the praises of your people throughout this room today, that God, as we offer evidence of the goodness of who you are, that God, that we may not be where we want to be, but God, we're certainly not where we used to be. God, we may not see the complete fulfillment of all of your promises in our life, but Lord, we do believe and we stand upon your word that says that all of your promises are yes and amen. So God, we trust today. We believe today that God, that you are our healer, that Lord, you are our deliverer, that Lord, you are our miracle worker, God, in this place. And so Father, Lord, we offer up the evidence today just to tell you how good you are, how great you are. God, we offer up the evidence to say that, God, we are more than a conqueror through you because of you, because you strengthen us, because, Lord, we know that you're not weak. God, I thank you that I may feel weak in this moment, but, God, I'm not weak because, Lord, you're not weak. Lord, you're not going down, and I'm not going down because, Lord, I'm connected to you. And so, Father, I thank you today in this room today that, God, that you would breathe strength and empowerment upon your people. Lord, I thank you today that you would breathe healing and deliverance and miraculous things over your people today, God, as we just offer up the evidence of how good that you are, how great that you are. And we can just say, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord, we may be fighting battles, Lord, we may have uncertain outcomes that we're facing, but we will declare, we will decree, blessed be the name of the Lord. We will speak the goodness and the greatness of our God. We can say that, Lord, we recognize the enemy all around us, but goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God, I bless you and I thank you today that for the people in this place today, for the people in this place today, oh God, your bodyguards have been dispatched, goodness and mercy. They'll follow them all the days of their life. So Lord, we bless you and we thank you. Don't matter who's against us, don't matter who's for us, because goodness is on one side, mercy on the other. God, you've got us covered. So Father, I thank you right now for victory and success. I thank you for outcomes in our life that, God, we can only give you praise and glory for, in the name of Jesus. God, go before your people this week. Bless them. Give them victory in all aspects of life. God, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you. God, bless even our offering, our tithe, as we give it to you as we leave this place today. Bring increase into the life and to those that God have given online. God, we thank you and we bless you. As we offer up the evidence today, oh God, you're great and you're mighty and you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus Christ, your mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen.